Now, I did ask you to pay close attention because I wanted to ask you some questions about this whole meaning of epiphany today. And this was kind of funny. I'll tell you about this. This is in part a recycled message that I gave 2 or 3 years ago on a Thursday evening. And it's about 22 pages long. So when I pulled that out this morning at 8:30, their eyes got real big. I said, don't worry, I'm only going to cover 20 of the 22 pages. No, I'm going to hit the highlights. You see, on Thursday, we don't have all the elements that we have on Sunday. So I can preach for 25 or 30 minutes, and we still can make it out in under an hour. But what I wanted to talk to you about today was this feast that we celebrated, the Epiphany. And this is a little bit of a recycle. And I do this sometimes on Thursdays, less so on a Sunday, where I'll say, let's have a quiz. So here's your pop quiz for today. I'm going to ask you some questions, okay? How many kings went to see Jesus? Do you remember from the story? Anyone? Yell it out. Three? Three? Anybody disagree? I see a three back in the third down. Right. Well, actually, what if I told you the answer was zero? Actually, what's that? They weren't kings. What were they? Somebody said it. Wise men, also known as magi. It was the magi that came. Now, where do we get that story about the kings from? The song. There was a Presbyterian minister about 150 years ago. He wrote a little play for his kids to do at the Nativity of Our Lord, and he wrote that song, We Three Kings, to present the Epiphany story as part of the Christmas story, and it took off. It became infamous. It's in all the hymnals now, and we still sing it. We had our bells play it this morning as we processed in. We three kings of Orient are. But the reality is, and even if you noticed in the psalm today, too, there was a bit of a projection of all the kings of the earth. And I think that was more of a terminology that David was using, not to necessarily suggest that it was kings that sit on a throne, but all, everybody. All people from all kingdoms, all the people of every king would ultimately come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the reality is, in the gospel account, it's magi. And magi are believed to be sort of a hybrid. They're like a cross between religious leaders, like priests, and also academic types, like professors. And so they're wise men. They're believed to have been actually... the Magi were probably Zoroastrian priests. And you say, well, what's a Zoroastrian? Zoroastrian is one of the oldest monotheistic religions in the world. Tiny little religion, still exists. The only reason I know it still exists is because my brother, not that he's Zoroastrian, but he's a big fan of the rock band Queen, and his idol was Freddie Mercury. He loved the singer Freddie Mercury, who's since gone home to be with the Lord, but Freddie Mercury, not my brother. But Freddie Mercury was Zoroastrian. So as a kid growing up, I used to hear my brother say, he's Zoroastrian. That's part of the oldest religion on the earth. Well, whoop-de-doo. All right, Freddie Mercury better have found Jesus before he passed on. That's all I'm saying. Because the Zoroastrian priest in today's story, they found the Lord. Let me ask you this. Which tribe of Judaism were those magi from? Oh, looking a little puzzled. It's a trick question. They're not. They're not even Jewish, right? We just said they're Zoroastrian. They're from a different monotheistic religion. The whole point of the story, they're coming from a faraway land. They're coming from a different faith. They're not the chosen people, but they're coming to who? They're coming to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the real story of the Epiphany, that Jesus came for the entire world, and the entire world can come to Jesus. Now, what about this? We heard today from Matthew's gospel account. What were the names that were given to those magi? Three names that are associated with them. Anybody know what they are? Very good. Casper, sometimes known as Jasper, believe it or not, in some traditions. What was the other? Melchior. Melchior, and also known as Melvin. Mel, right? And Balthazar, right. And what gospel account do we get those names from? We don't. Those are also just given to us by tradition. They're not in the Bible, and we hung on to that three again. Why do you think three comes up? Because magi is just plural. It could have been 16. It could have been 100. Could have been two. We don't know. Why do you think we land on three all the time? Holy Trinity. That's a good answer. What else? The three gifts, right? They brought three gifts, so each of them must have been bearing one gift. So that's where we're going to land today. Let's talk for just a moment or two before we wrap it up. You see, I went through 20 of the 22 pages already. Let's talk about those three gifts. You remember what they were? That's right. We'll give him gold and frankincense, but wait, there's myrrh. I thought that was funny. Y'all don't like that meme? Miss Sandy, go back and show him that first meme. After the three wise men left, the three wise women arrived. Fresh diapers, casseroles for the week, lots of formula. I also saw one during the week and it said, if it had been three wise women, they would have asked for directions. All right, let's talk about the three gifts. And I want to relate these three gifts, not just to our Christian faith, but since we're good New Orleanians, somebody say, who dat? Who dat? Since we're good New Orleanians, we're going to relate it to the king cake as well. Do you realize the Christian implications of the king cake? If you don't, we're going to find out about them right now. Okay. First of all, what shape is the king cake? It's never square, is it? It's always round. No beginning, no end. The Alpha, the Omega, right? It also looks like a crown that could be worn on a king's head, doesn't it? And if you're real old school like I am, before everybody started making king cakes, back in the day when you go to McKenzie's, because Swagman's had a McKenzie's in it, you'd pick up a king cake, and those king cakes weren't just one circular cake. That circular cake was made actually of three strands of dough. Remember that? And it's hard to find them like that anymore. But that was a reference to the Holy Trinity, wasn't it? What's in that cake? It's a little baby. It's the little baby Jesus. There's so much Christianity in our New Orleans culture that the pagans don't even know we're feeding them Christianity when we give them the king cake. Amen? But what are the colors? What are the colors on the king cake? Purple, green, and gold. Purple, green. So let's talk about those in terms of the gifts that were brought today. The gold, obviously, is sort of a slam dunk. Jesus Christ is the king, and so he is presented with the finest of all the metals on earth, the gold. The gold is a symbol of kingship, right? When a king puts a crown on his head, it's not made out of aluminum. It's made out of gold, right? Gold. So we see gold in the color of Mardi Gras and the king cake. What about the color purple? Royalty. We're coming to the king, right? We're also coming to not only the King of Kings, but we're coming to the Lord of Lords, what the Bible in the New Testament says, the one who is a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And that's interesting because you only see that reference in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. Jesus Christ is called the high king of the order, I'm sorry, the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. Who's Melchizedek? You got to go all the way back into the book of Genesis in the Old Testament to find that character Melchizedek. Very unknown character, kind of even a hard name to say, but he shows up in Genesis, and what he is presented as is someone who does not have ancestry. Now that's fascinating because when the Jews wrote Genesis, right? When Jewish folks write down anything, ancestry is an extremely important part of it. Think about the lineage of Jesus, the son of, the son of, the son of, until you get to Jesus, right? In Genesis, it says that Melchizedek is a king and a priest, and he's the king of Salem, but he has no ancestry. And that's fascinating because Jesus becomes the king born where? In Jerusalem, which literally means new Salem. And in the Old Testament, in Genesis, this king Melchizedek, this high priest Melchizedek, he goes to a guy named Abraham, the father of faith, right? And what does he do with him? Genesis tells us he blesses and breaks bread. And then he blesses a cup of wine, and he gives it to Abraham. Do you realize that that is a foreshadowing, the King of Kings, the high priest of the order of Melchizedek, of what Jesus does for us in the Last Supper, of what Jesus would institute in the sacrament of Holy Communion, given to a Jew named Abraham all the way back in the book of Genesis. Absolutely fascinating. Now, purple, let's get back to that for a moment, because purple is that royal color, and it's also the color associated with the priesthood. And frankincense is an incense that the priest would have burned in the temple. So you see how the gift of frankincense relates to the color purple. And if that leaves us a third color, which is the color we did, gold, purple, green. Green. Green is the color of eternal life. If you think about even our Christmas celebrations in the dead of winter, we use a very particular kind of tree. We use the evergreen. It continues living even amongst the time when much of nature is dying away. And it's to remind us that Jesus Christ has eternal life as well, and that with our faith in Jesus Christ, we too have that eternal life. And it's associated, green is associated with the gift of myrrh, because myrrh was an oil, and an oil was used to anoint the king. Remember when King David gets anointed, right? They pour oil out on him. But myrrh was an oil that was also used, get this, as an embalming oil. An embalming oil to preserve the body. And you know what? Jesus Christ is that sort of embalming oil for us as well. Because there's going to come a day, we're going to take our last earthly breath, and they can knock us full of all kinds of chemicals these days to keep that body from rotting. But sooner or later, every one of us is going to end up in the ground. You're going to be reminded of that when we enter the season of Lent. Ashes, from dust you have come, to dust you shall return. But, with our faith in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the High Priest of the entire universe, we too are embalmed with that oil, that we too have the promise of eternal life, evergreen. We too have the promise that when we're in Christ Jesus and he's in us, we're kings. We're a priesthood of believers. We are a royal priesthood, according to one of the epistles. And we too have eternal life. We too have the promise of the resurrection, that even though we return to dust, one day, God is going to resurrect everyone. Those in Christ, those not in Christ, those who are in Christ are going to be given a beautiful, uncorrupted body, just like our Lord had when he was risen, just like he had when he ascended. And you know what he did when he ascended? The last words he gave to his disciples, and that's us today, we're the modern day disciples. He said to them this is the great commission of Christianity. Go out into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have taught you. And that's what we're called to do. So, my brothers and sisters, we are called to be that star in the east. As that star in the east led those magi to Jesus Christ, so are we to let our light shine, that it brings glory to God our Father in heaven. We're to be that star that brings people to that wee little babe who would grow up to be the King of Kings, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We're to be that star, evangelizing the world for Christ, making disciples of our Lord and Savior. That's the gospel. It's good news. If you receive it this morning, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's rise together and let's profess our faith as has been handed to us in the Apostles' Creed.